So we are in the middle of a series that we're calling The Lies We Believe. This is actually week three of the series, very first series here at True North Church. And really what we're doing in this series is we are unpacking some of the lies that we believe about Christianity, about faith, a lot of times just about life in general. And what we've been discovering over the last several weeks is that lies are damaging. They hurt us. And the reason that they hurt us is because there's this deception involved. When we are lied to, we are being deceived. And the worst kind of lies are the lies that we actually believe. And I think the worst of the worst are the lies that we tell ourselves that we believe. Those are the most difficult lies to get over, right? The lies that we tell ourselves, they're the ones that keep us from growing more than any other type of lie. And so in week one, we looked at this first lie. I am valuable because of what I do. And we realized, we came to this understanding that what we do does not make us valuable. Whose we are makes us valuable. I am valuable because I am God's, because I am his child, and he has adopted me into his family. That's what makes me valuable. But then in week two, we looked at this idea that God can't be loving or good because there's so much evil in the world. Again, that's a lie. God loves us so very much, and he proved that when he sent Jesus to the cross to die for our sin. He loves us so very much in spite of all of the evil and all the garbage and all the stuff that we go through in our life and all the stuff that we see in this world. And so this week, we're going to tackle another one of those lies. Lie number three. And it goes like this. If I just had blank, then I would be happy. Have you ever said that to yourself? I have many, many times. And I think the reality, the truth is, in our humanness, in our human nature, we all want to be happy, right? There's not a single person, I don't know you, I don't know all of you, but I know this about you. You did not wake up this morning and say, I wish I was miserable today. I hope that this is the worst day ever. I don't want to be happy at the end of this day at all. Nobody's waking up saying that, right? Deep down inside, at the core of who we are, we all want to be happy. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And so my guess is you've said something like this before. You know, if I just had that guy, or I just had that girl, then I'd be happy. If I just got that job, if I just made that team, if I just got into that college, then I would be happy. If I just got that toy, oh, that new toy. If I just got that phone, or that new car, or that house, or that speedboat, or whatever it is that's a toy to you, if I just had that toy, oh, then I would be happy. But if you're like me, here's what always happens. Once I finally get the thing that I thought was going to make me so very happy, I almost always, inevitably, and sometimes it's a day, sometimes it's a week, sometimes it's a whole season, but I eventually end up in the same place every time. Man, that thing that I thought was going to make me so happy, that feeling like left really fast. It was gone really, really quickly, right? Like, I thought that that guy or that girl was gonna make me so happy, and they did for a while. But now I'm not so happy anymore. I thought that getting that job, getting more money in my bank account, getting that toy, I thought that that was going to make me more happy. But now I'm not so happy. And I think the challenge for me, and I'll just be real and transparent with you. I promise you that the very first weekend if you were here, I can't promise to always be perfect as your pastor because I'm not perfect. In a lot of ways, I'm really, really screwed up. I have sin just like every other person on this planet. Thank God for Jesus in my life. I struggle with this one a lot. Probably much more than the first 2 weeks, I struggle with this one big time. Because in my mind, here's what I do. In my heart, here's what I do. I think if I chase after certain things, if I achieve certain things, if I get certain things, then I'm going to be happy. And the problem with that is that in order for me to be happy, something really good has to be happening externally around me. And this is the lie. This is sort of like the sub-lie, the lie within the lie. That happiness is predicated on external circumstances. That's a lie. Happiness comes from something inside. Real, true, authentic happiness goes on in here. It starts internally in spite of everything that is going on around us. And so here's what I see. I see it in my own life, and I see it all around our world and all around our culture. There are so many people who are miserable. And I gotta tell you, I'm one of those people some days. I can't stand here before you and say, yeah, I am just so happy and joyful all the time. I'm not. And that breaks my heart. It breaks my heart for you. It breaks my heart for me. Because here's what I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that your Heavenly Father, He wants you to have joy and He wants you to be happy. But it's not going to be found in the things that we're trying to find it in. It will not be found in the things of this world. I promise you that. And so today, here's what I want to do. I want to take just a couple of minutes, and I want to talk about this whole idea of how do we really, truly find happiness? If it's not predicated on all of the external things that we think we're going to find it in, what do we find happiness in? And my hope and my prayer for us as a community is to be able to walk out of here today, maybe some of us for the very first time, with a different perspective on how to find joy and how to really be happy in this life. And so we're going to look at a passage of Scripture, a text found in the New Testament in the Gospel of Matthew. Now, if you're not really familiar with the Bible, I'll give you really quick cliff notes, okay? Matthew is the very first book of the New Testament. It is the first of four Gospels. That's a really, like, Christian-y word that you've probably heard thrown around there before. All that means is the good news. The Gospels, these four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these are books about Jesus. They are the books that tell the story of His amazing miracles and His truth and all the wisdom that He tried to share with humanity for us to have a better life. And it's the story of His death and His resurrection and how He saved us from an awful, awful end to this life. That's the Gospels. This is the very first one of those. And the text that we're going to look at today, we find Jesus walking around back in the day, and He's got this huge crowd of people following Him around. This happened all the time. Everywhere Jesus went, people wanted to be near Him. Why? Well, because He said things and He did things that nobody had ever seen before. Nobody. And so when he came to a town, when He came to a place, the crowds would come from everywhere. Thousands and thousands of people. The text that we're going to look at today is known as the Sermon on the Mount. It's the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. It is the greatest sermon that has ever been delivered by the greatest preacher and teacher who has ever lived. Not just a man, but God Himself. Jesus, God in a bod, right? That's what He did. He came down, Jesus came down and became human to show us what God really looks like in human form. And He preached the most amazing message that you will, there's no way I could possibly ever preach a message as good as He preached this one. And so to begin this message, this is just the very beginning. He begins with some statements that we read this now and we just think, okay, you know, that's not that radical. No, this would have been the most radical, upside down from the culture thing that these people had ever heard. And what He's really talking about in this moment, because He goes on, and this sermon is really long. He talks about worry. He talks about what it means to have better relationships. I mean, covers a whole bunch of different topics. But He begins with something to grab their attention, to wake them up. Listen, in My kingdom, things are different. Things are different. So this is what he begins with. He says, now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. That's how teachers taught back in the day. They didn't stand up and be all jittery like I am up here, all right? He sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I want to stop right there just for a second. This is also known as the Beatitudes. It's called the Beatitudes. And I want to park just for a second on one word here. Just one word. This word, blessed. See, maybe you know this, maybe you don't. The Old Testament, the Old Covenant, was written primarily the original language in Hebrew. The New Covenant, the New Testament, where we're reading right now, was written primarily in Greek. And what happens is when you translate from the original language, whether it's Hebrew, whether it's Greek, sometimes there is not an exact word to describe the word that they are looking for in English or whatever other language. And this word blessed is one of those words. And I think it's so important for us to understand what that really means in the original Greek. It's this word happy. It means happy. And as we read this morning, I want to challenge you and I want to encourage you to replace that word blessed with the word happy. Because as we understand that context, it changes the way we read this. All right, let's go to the next part. Happy are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Happy are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed, happy are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Happy are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Happy are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, if I'm Jesus, and I'm reading, and I'm speaking this to the people, and I'm the people listening, the first thought that's going through my mind is, wait. That can't be right. There's no way that those things are going to make you happy. Those things don't make you happy. Those things make you lower in society. Those things make you depressed, right? The poor in spirit. Wait a second. The poor in spirit are the ones who are happy? No, the poor in spirit are not the ones in society who are happy. They're the ones who are looked down on. The rich in spirit, the people who have it all together, the people who know all the laws and follow everything to a T, they're the happy people. The rich people are happy, not the poor. How about the meek? He says, the meek shall inherit the earth. The meek will be happy. No, the meek, that means weak. If you're meek, you're weak. The weak people in society, they are not the ones who are going to be happy. It's the people in power. It's the people who have the authority. It's the people who have all the money. They're the people who are really going to be happy in this life. Happy are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Happy are people who are persecuted? That doesn't make any sense. The persecuted aren't happy. Jesus says they are. How can that possibly be? What is Jesus trying to get at in this moment? See, this is the truth about happiness. Happiness isn't found in the pursuit of happiness. Happiness is found in the pursuit of holiness. And there's a huge difference here. Happiness isn't found in the pursuit of happiness. And the more you chase happiness, the less you will find it, I promise you. And what Jesus says is what you need to do is you need to pursue holiness. Okay, let's stop here for a second. What is holiness? This sounds like another really big Christian-y word that I don't understand. Holiness simply means this, to be set apart, to pursue Jesus, to pursue God, to be obedient to him, and to follow him with everything that you have. It doesn't mean to be perfect. Only God is perfect. Only God is perfectly holy. But God does challenge us, Jesus does challenge us to pursue holiness. And this entire list of Beatitudes that we've just read here, that's what this is all about. This is what Jesus is saying. You don't need to be perfect. You don't need to have it all together. You might be poor in spirit. You might be poor monetarily. You might be meek. You might be the lowest in society. But guess what? If you will pursue me and you will pursue righteousness and you will pursue being holy, that is what is going to make you fulfilled in this life, not all of that other stuff. And the more you pursue that stuff, the more disappointed you are going to be. When the people, when the disciples heard this, when they were listening to this for the first time, this was completely brand new. Nobody had ever, ever in the history of the world talked like this before. Here comes this guy Jesus saying, no, there's a different way. I have a better way for you to go through this life. And I think sometimes we get this idea in our mind that God wants us to be happy. Like, there's a lot of preachers out there right now who are just, honestly, they're preaching messages that say, like, all God wants is for you to just be happy and go through this life and not have a care in the world. And the truth is, I believe God wants us to be happy, but not in the way that we think he wants us to be happy. You see, what I believe is he wants us to be holy, because when we are holy, happiness becomes a result of that. Happiness is a result of holiness. Unfortunately, what we do is we seek happiness. We seek happiness in all the things that this world has to offer. And in doing that, we actually miss out on real, true, authentic, life-giving joy and happiness. That's the truth. Now, I know what some of you are thinking, because I've thought this before. That's no fun. That's no fun. I don't want to seek Jesus and his righteousness and, like, does that mean that I got to go sit in a room somewhere all day long with my hands like this, praying and meditating and talking to God all day long and miss out on all the fun stuff in life, like football games and hanging out with people and going out to restaurants and doing all the cool fun stuff and, like, having some toys and buying a house? Should I not do any of that? No. That's not what he's saying. See, here's what Satan, here's what our enemy, and we've talked about this. We have an enemy. He is the father of lies. He does not want us to be successful in this life. He does not want us to thrive. Here's what he wants you to believe. He wants you to believe that if you pursue all of the stuff that this world has to offer, that that will give you the greatest joy and the greatest contentment and the greatest happiness. Don't chase after God. Don't pursue him and his righteousness. Don't be obedient to him. Don't listen to the ways that he calls you to live. That's no fun. And I think all of us have kind of felt that before. We've all told ourselves that before. No, it's way more fun to seek all of my pleasure and all of my happiness in some sexual encounter, in some relationship, in some new toy. That's where my greatest joy is going to be found. And again, when we talk about lies within lies, it's a lie. Because I don't know about you, but I've chased some of those things before. And every single time, without fail, I am left wanting. I'm left wanting. It never satisfies. And what it is, here's what it really is, and Satan is so good at this. It's a counterfeit. It's a counterfeit happiness. It will make you happy for a time. It will seem like this is the greatest thing ever. Until it's not. Until it doesn't satisfy. Until it doesn't fulfill. It's a counterfeit. It's like when I go to the Dollar Tree and I get one of those really, like, cheap, generic, knockoff Gatorades. And I drink the Gatorade and I'm like, you know what? That tastes pretty good. But then I go and I drink a real Gatorade, like the real deal. And there is no comparison. There's no substitute for the real deal. How about another example? Have you ever had the chocolate cake at Costco. Now, some of you know me, and you've heard me speak before, and you know that I have a small love affair with the chocolate cake at Costco. I found out the other day that they may not be bringing the cake back, and I'm definitely going to be writing a letter or something to Costco. This cake is like, it's nuclear size. It's just, it's amazing, and it's so rich and decadent, and right in the middle, it's got this like fudge layer. Oh, it's so good. The other day, I was at someone's house. We were having a little get-together, and they brought this new and improved chocolate Costco cake. And on the outside, it pretty much looked exactly the same as the original cake that I am so used to. Except for when I bit into it, it had this like mousse layer in the middle of it. It wasn't fudge. It wasn't as rich. It wasn't as decadent. On the outside, it looked great. It looked like the exact same thing. But the second I bit into it, I'm like, this is not the same. This is a counterfeit. It's not real. And guess what? I didn't get the same enjoyment out of the cake that I normally do. It was sad. Don't miss this. Everything that we chase, every pleasure, every happiness that we try to, everything that we try to find happiness in this life that is not God, that is not in Jesus, in Christ, is a counterfeit. And this is what I want you to hear so badly this morning, because I want your life to be changed like it's changing mine. You were not created to find pleasure and to find happiness in the things of this world. You were not created for that. You were created for something else. And until we recognize that, till we realize that, we will never truly be happy. I love the way that C.S. Lewis puts this. This is what he says. If we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. We were not made to find happiness and pleasure in the things of this world, not lasting and true happiness. We were made to find it in something else, in someone else. In someone else. We were made to find it in him, in who he is. And the second that we begin, I believe this with all my heart, the second that we begin to look to him, to look to our Heavenly Father, to look to Jesus, our Savior, as the source of our happiness, then and only then will we actually discover it. See, it's kind of like a bird that thinks it's a fish. I feel like that's what we are as human beings most of the time. A bird is meant to fly. They are not meant to swim, at least most birds. There's a few birds out there that do a little swimming. But a bird that doesn't fly isn't fulfilling its purpose. It's not doing what it was created to do. And so if you're a bird that's constantly just trying to swim and never flies, you are missing out on who you were created to be. That's what we're like as human beings so often. A bird trying to swim that never flies. God wants us to fly. He wants us to experience all the joy and the happiness that comes when we pursue his holiness. This is what David says in Psalm 37:4. I love this. He says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, I think a lot of people read that and they think, okay, so if I make God number one, if I do everything he asks me to do, then he's going to give me the desires of my heart. And what's the desires of my heart? Well, I want money. I want great relationships. I want a great job. No, that's not what you really want. But can we be honest for a second? That's not what you really want. What you want is peace and joy and contentment. And you're looking for it in those things. But deep down, what you really want is you want joy. You want to be happy. And this is what David says. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. What is the desire of your heart? To be happy and to have joy. And that will only be found in him. And so what do we do with this? I mean, that is the million-dollar question. Because if you're like me, I've struggled with this my whole life. I'm still struggling with it today. There are days when I wake up and I find myself pursuing and chasing happiness and it eluding me on a regular basis. It's really this simple. Stop chasing happiness and start chasing holiness. I don't know if you're the type of person who writes things down during the message. I want to encourage you, write that down. This week, look at it sometime. When you feel that urge, when you feel that temptation to chase after something that you know, really truly know, deep down inside, that's not going to really make me happy, not for long. Stop chasing happiness. Start chasing holiness. And as you stop chasing happiness and start chasing holiness, you will actually find happiness. See, I believe God wants us to be happy. But he wants us to have a real happiness, a real joy, an authentic happiness, not this counterfeit. See, when I was in college, just share a little bit of my testimony with you. High school and college, I started running. I was a distance runner from the time I was 7 or 8 years old. Started going to road races with my dad. And I was pretty good. I'm not going to lie. I was a pretty good runner. Like if you were looking at the entire world, I was probably in the 95th percentile. Like I was really, really good at it. And from the time I was a little boy, I wanted to be a state champion. I wanted to be a national champion. I wanted to go run at the Olympics. Like in my mind, that was my dream. And so I chased that for a long time. All through high school and most of my time in college. See, the problem is I was really, really good. But there's a huge gap between 95% and 99% and 100%. That's the reality. I was really good, but I wasn't nearly good enough for that to be my dream. And unfortunately, I didn't recognize that till it was way too late, till it had done serious damage in my life. And so I chased and I chased and I chased. And when I had a great race and I had a good day and I made improvements, guess what? I was happy. It was awesome. But when I didn't, I was miserable. Miserable. And yet I kept chasing it, thinking that that was going to be the thing that was going to fulfill me, that was going to make me happy. And it never did. I love the way that Solomon puts this whole idea of chasing something that's uncatchable. He puts it in just terms that are so brilliant. This is what he says in Ecclesiastes 1:14. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. I've seen it all. I've done it all. I've had it all. Solomon was like one of the wisest, most wealthy men in the history of the world. He had everything. Money, chariots, women. Like he had it all. This is what he recognized. All of them are meaningless. A chasing after the wind. You ever try to chase the wind? Can't catch the wind. You can barely even see. Can't see the wind. Let alone catch it. It's all meaningless. It's a chasing after the wind. And so here's what I don't want for you. I don't want you to go through the rest of this life chasing something that you will never catch. I want you to recognize that if you will stop chasing those things and you will begin to chase holiness, that it will change your life in ways that you can't possibly imagine. You will have a new kind of joy and a new kind of happiness that cannot be found in anything else in this world. And so, I want to talk to two groups again. We've done this every week now. If you are in the room and you are not a Jesus follower, and you've never put your hope and your trust and your faith in Him alone as your Savior, that's the first step today. We can't chase holiness until we recognize that Jesus is holy and perfect and that He's God and that He came to save us. But the second that we recognize that and the second that we give Him our life, fully and completely, He will begin to change it. And what I love about Jesus is this. He doesn't say, get your act together and then come to me. He doesn't say, clean yourself up and then come to me. He doesn't make you jump through a whole bunch of hoops before he says, no, I'll die for you. Welcome into the family. No, he says, come. Come and be part of the family, and then we'll start working on your stuff. And we'll work on it together, and we'll get better at this thing. And if that's you this morning, more than anything, what I want is for you to just take that step. Just take a chance. Because this is what I know. Before I knew Jesus, I had nothing to lose but to try and to see what he was really all about. What do you got to lose today? But then, second group. If you are a Jesus follower, and you found yourself, like me, on far too many occasions, kind of miserable, not really happy, maybe even not miserable, but maybe just going through life without any real sense of joy or happiness. If you've ever found yourself in that place, if you found yourself chasing like I have, I want to challenge you to do something today that seems really counterintuitive. I want to look at a verse in Matthew 16 and verse 24. Because this is what Jesus says to his disciples about how to really, truly find yourself in this life. He says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? That's a really, really big challenge. Like he dropped it right there. And what Jesus is really saying here is if you want to find life, if you want your life to be better, follow me with everything that you have. Come after me with everything that you have. Seek holiness with everything that you have. Be obedient to me and do everything that I ask you to do. And even though it's going to seem like you're giving up a ton, you're not giving up anything. You are gaining everything. Again, C.S. Lewis, I love this guy. He's brilliant. He's one of the most brilliant Christian thinkers of the 20th century. This is what C.S. Lewis says about this. Give up yourself and you will find your real self. Lose your life and you will save it. Submit to death of your ambitions and favorite wishes every day, and death of your whole body. In the end, submit with every fiber of your being and you will find eternal life. Keep back nothing. Nothing that you have not given away will be really yours. Nothing in you that has not died will ever be raised from the dead. Look for yourself, and this is the one that gets me right here. Look for yourself and you will find in the long run only hatred and loneliness and despair and rage and ruin and decay. But look for Christ and you will find him, and with him everything else thrown in. When we seek holiness, when we seek Jesus, when we seek our Heavenly Father, then we will receive every good thing that he wants to give us. And so we really have two choices today. We can keep trying to do it the way that we've always done it. We can keep pursuing happiness, or we can make a change. And my question to you is, what do you have to lose? Because I don't know about you, but it's not working for me. This whole seeking happiness and seeking pleasure and seeking it in achievement and relationships and all the other thing that I think that's going to make me happy, it's never worked out. 36 years, not once. It's never worked out. And so I want to give you a practical application step today to begin to actually try to do this. It's honestly, it might be my favorite verse in Scripture right now. It's found in John 13:34. This is what it says. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. This is what I love about Jesus. He makes this whole idea of chasing holiness so simple. He doesn't make it easy. Don't confuse simple with easy. He makes this really simple, though. You see, back in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, there were like 600 laws. They had all these crazy, sometimes seemingly ridiculous things they had to do to keep right standing with God, to be holy. Jesus comes along, and he takes all 600 laws, and he boils it down to one thing. Love people. If you love me, if you want to be obedient to me, if you want to be holy like I am holy, then you must love people. And here's what's going to happen. If you love people, you're going to have to be selfless, really selfless. If you love people, you're going to have to put others' needs above your own. If you love people, you're going to have to serve them. If you love them, you're going to have to show them grace. If you love them, you're actually going to have to spend time around them. And as you spend time around them, hopefully, you're going to get an opportunity to maybe share the most important news they will ever hear. The news about Jesus, the good news, the gospel, and what he's done in your life. And I promise you this, if you will make that your number one pursuit in this life, from this day forward, God, I'm going to love you by loving people. I'm going to pursue holiness by loving other people and making that my number one priority in this life and stop making life about me. See, this is what I know about myself. I won't speak for anyone else on this one. I am most miserable when I am most self-centered and most self-absorbed. That's true. And I don't think I'm the only one. Maybe that's not you, but I think the majority of us, if we really think about the times when we're the most miserable, it's when we are so focused on ourselves. And Jesus comes to share something different. He says, love other people, and not only will you have a greater impact in the world, but you will be changed yourself. As you love others, you will find joy, and you will find happiness. And so today, what's it going to be? We're going to keep doing things the way we've always done them? We're going to keep chasing happiness? Or will we start chasing holiness? And once we do that, get happiness thrown in. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your goodness, and for your faithfulness, and for your mercy. God, I thank you that you do want us to have joy and you do want us to be happy. But I also thank you that you want us to have a real joy and a real happiness, not a counterfeit. I thank you that you've given us an action step that we can take to begin to do this, to pursue you. God, if we would love people the way that you love us, the way that you sacrificed for us, if we would do that, we're going to experience a new joy and a new happiness that we've never had before. And so I pray today for this community of people that we would do that, that this week we would make a stand and say, you know what, from this point forward, I'm going to stop chasing happiness. I'm going to start chasing holiness. I'm going to love people. And let's just see what happens. What if doing that led to the greatest joy and happiness we've ever experienced in our lives? I believe it would be so worth it. So we thank you for your truth today. God, I pray that we would leave this place changed, that we would never, ever walk away from hearing your word without allowing it to move and work inside of us and make us better people. God, make us world changers for you. It's in Jesus' perfect name we pray. Amen.